Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. Yesterday was a landmark day in the history of America. We have come all the way from thanking God and declaring to Him that this was a Christian nation and that He brought us here and He gave us this land, which is all true. And it is true according to the prophecies concerning the house of Israel. The Supreme Court voted 5-4 that same-sex marriage was legal, a right granted to it by the Constitution. The four dissenting judges gave scathing reports on how this should not be. However, this is a landmark decision, and the United States has taken a final step toward the destruction of this nation and the judgment of God. When five unelected officials sitting on the Supreme Court defy God, defy His word, defy the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the amendments to the Constitution of the United States, and issue a lawless decree that spells doom for this nation. There is no other way to say it. Now, there may be a respite. The evangelicals have declared that they will fight against this decision by the Supreme Court. It is lawless, it is unconstitutional, and it is defying God. Now, whenever you defy God and claim yourself to be wiser than God, just like it says in Romans, the first chapter, they are fools. Now, the 26th of June was a very interesting day in the Scriptures. And since we are part of the house of Israel in the end time, and the leading nation of the descendants of Israel today, let's look and see what happened on this day in the book of Jeremiah. Because June 26th was the ninth day of the fourth month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Let's see what happened on that day, and we will see that it is significant. Come to Jeremiah 39, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jerusalem was taken in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. Okay? In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, a breach was made into the city. They got through the walls, and all the rulers of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Then it lists them all. Very interesting, isn't it? The enemy has stormed in and have destroyed the Constitution of the United States and have destroyed what God has declared from the beginning, that He has made them male and female, and therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Now let's understand something. There is no such thing as equality in marriage. Can the same-sex marriages produce children in another generation? No, they cannot. Well, they're hoping that science can develop test tube human beings in defiance of God, hatred of God. Now then, let's see what happened to Zedekiah, because he was warned. Jeremiah warned him just before this. that if you surrender to the Chaldeans, your life will be spared. But he didn't listen. Just like the Supreme Court did not listen. They defy God. They defied all the briefs that were filed by the evangelicals, where some of them stated, because they knew what was going to happen, that the judgment of God would come upon us if they decided to make same-sex marriages legal. So we are in desperate times. Now then, the warning was given. Christianity is going to become fair game, and they are already planning and plotting their next move. Now, let's see what happened to Zedekiah because he didn't listen. After they came in, verse 4, and it came to pass when Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, then they fled. They went out from the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and they went toward Araba. But the Chaldean army pursued them, overtook them in the plains of Jericho. So you see, there comes a time when nothing will work. Now then, let's see what happened to him. And let's take this as a foretaste of what is going to happen to this nation. And the Chaldeans pursued them in the plains of Jericho, and they took him and made him go up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. And the king of Babylon killed all the princes of Judah. And he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains and carried him to Babylon. Quite a judgment, yes? Where are we going to be? What is going to happen? Here in California, where all of this started, we're now in the fourth year of a drought. Will there be rain next year? We do not know. But some of the cities have already cut back 37% on their use of water. What are they going to do when the water runs out? And why do we have this drought? Well, you read in Jeremiah 23 that Jeremiah said, oh, the sins of the people, my eyes are just running down like rivers with tears because of the adulteries and sins that they have committed. The wilderness is ravaged, burned up, and dry. And right in California now, there are more fires, and there will be more. So what is going to happen? Look at what happened back in the Midwest. Right in the heart of the Bible Belt, we'll talk about the Bible Belt here in just a little bit. They were all praying that the drought would end. Well, God answered the prayer with correction. He ended the drought, but gave them tornadoes and flooding, and it hasn't yet completely stopped. Now, we need to understand something very important. No one can defy God. God is judge, and he will judge them. All right? Now, today we're told that the whole world is like Sodom and Egypt, and that's exactly what it is. Let's see what happened to Israel when they did this in the past. Let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter. Now, a lot of people are hoping, well, there be repentance, really? A lot of people are hoping that God will lift his heavy hand of judgment. Will he? Now, since the Supreme Court is the one that made this decision, they hold the primary guilt. Right below them are the religious leaders. Yes, the religious leaders And just like the children of Israel have always thought, while their religious leaders are very understanding and nice, let's see how God looks at their assemblies. And if there's going to be any repentance, we'll find out what kind of repentance is necessary. Let's pick it up here in verse 2. Now, whenever God wants to make a point of power and impact, and why he is doing this, he uses heaven and earth as witness. Notice Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The Lord has spoken. This is a prophecy for us today, as well as fulfilled against Israel back then. I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. Now, to show you how contrary that it is, we claim to be a Christian nation. We claim to love God. We claim to follow his way. But that's a mirage. That is not true. Let's read on. It is so contrary that God says this, verse 3. The fox knows his owner, the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. And isn't that what we have done? Yes. And so God's judgments are upon us. God's judgments come automatically. And when his anger gets involved, then instead of the judgments coming like little waves, all of a sudden there's a rogue wave and bam! That's exactly what has happened with this decision. This is an effrontery to God, a denial of everything that this nation was founded upon. And God's judgment is coming. Verse 5, God says, think about all we've suffered. Think about all the wars. Think about the droughts. Think about the storms, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the sickness, the disease, the problems with sin. Think about the drugs. Think about the crime. Think about all of the adultery and perversion and homosexuality. God looks down and he sees all of that. So God says, why will you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick. 90% of the government is sick. Can't stand for the truth. Can't stand for God. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to do it. Oh yes, we must not offend anyone. We must be good little people. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And that's what our cities look like. When the sun goes down, then all of the evil crawls out. There is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Your country is a desolation, and it's going to get worse. Your cities are burned with fire, and that has been happening, and it is going to get worse. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence. Yes. What does it say in Deuteronomy 28? And the stranger within your gate shall get up very high above you, and you shall be brought low. A little sidebar. Just the other day, I had to renew my driver's license, which I renewed. And I went into the DMV, and every worker there was Hispanic. Now, they're doing a good job, That's fine. But it shows you that even in little old Hollister, the Word of God is fulfilled right in front of your eyes. Quite a thing to contemplate, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Verse 18, and the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city. All the vines crawl over the top of it and choke everything out. And they don't even know it. Now there's a little hope for the church. Little hope for the people. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and we would have been like Gomorrah. Well, we'll read what happened to them. Today we are that way. Without a doubt. So God says, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. Now then, if there's any repentance and turning back, they better do this. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So he says down here in verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain sacrifice. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn assembly. What is it that they have done? What is it that is the first thing that needs to be repented of? Because right after the Supreme Court in responsibility stands all the rulers and ministers and pastors of churches. And their Sabbath, which is Sunday. And then it says, and your new moons and appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Lent, all of those abominable days, God says he hates. So what's going to have to happen is this. If the evangelicals say, well, we're going to declare war on this judgment that has been given by the Supreme Court, don't you think they ought to start with repenting about Sunday keeping? Because you see, the lawless condition in this nation, the foundation of that is the lawless grace that has been preached from the pulpit, saying that the laws of God have been done away. Now, that's why we have in the Bible, and I've said it many times, Rome's challenge to the Protestants. Rome tells you, you're defying the Bible. You're defying the Word of God if you keep Sunday, because that is a Roman Catholic institution started by them. Well, really not. It goes back to ancient Babylon and Baal worship. That's the truth of it. So God says, now they're going to do this. He says, I'm weary to bear them. Verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, and when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Abortion, same-sex marriage, all the other sins, the drugs, everything else. Think about it. All of that. Have they stopped it? Have they turned it back? No, because this society is given over to pleasure and delusion and a make-believe reality that is repeated over and over again in the media. Your hands are full of blood. I wonder how many Sunday-keeping pastors and evangelists will stand up in a pulpit and repent and say, we're going to keep the Sabbath from now on. That's the word of God. And we'll repent and say, we have lied to you when we said the law of God is done away. I doubt it. So they can fight against this judgment by the Supreme Court all they want. But until they come back to the whole law of God, all the law of God, it will continue the way that it is. So God says, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek judgment. Reprove the oppressor. Judge the orphan and the widow. And then God says, if you come to me, I'll forgive your sins, but you must be willing and obedient. All right? Come down here to verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Question. Did God destroy Jerusalem and destroy the temple and scrape it like a rock twice? 586 B.C. and 70 A.D. because of the stubbornness and lack of repentance of the people and the religious leaders. Is that not enough witness to us that, yes, God will do it again? Some people think America is too big to fail. Well, they thought that of Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. They thought that of Judea. They thought that of all the empires. And now look at us. Of course we can fail. And it's going to happen. I don't know what kind of thing is going to take place. But he says here, he has spoken it. Verse 21, how has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your rulers are rebellious, companions of thieves. Look at the way that the politicians are just loaded with wealth when they retire. How did these ex-presidents get all of that money? Companions of thieves and liars. There are other things you need to look at concerning that. Everyone loves a bribe and is pursuing rewards. They do not judge the orphan, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. And the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, says, alas, the time has come. I myself will vent my wrath upon my foes and avenge myself upon my enemies, and I will turn back my hand upon you and purge away the dross with lye and take away all your tin alloy. That's what's going to happen. When God says he's angry, when God says the time has come, when he says, alas, you better take heed. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Look what he did to Jerusalem. Twice, I remind you. For behold, the Lord of hosts. Now, look at how many times he says, the Lord of hosts. That is double emphasis to know this will happen. Takes away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the man of might and the man of war and the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable men, the advisor, the cunning charmer, the skillful enchanter, and I will give young lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them, and the people shall be crushed. Every man by another, every man by his neighbor. And the young shall rise up against the old and the base against the honorable. That'll happen. Think of this. our whole electrical grid is in jeopardy. And they could shut down electricity nearly everywhere. And they wouldn't even have to come in with bombs or ammunition. They've got the back door into all servers. And China controls it. Remember the hackings? How did those occur? Because 98% of servers are made in China. Think about that. What would we do without electricity? And that could happen instantly. And what else would happen then? You couldn't pump gasoline, you couldn't pump water. Pretty soon we would have famine upon us. And we would have riots and killing and looting, just exactly as it says here. Everyone against his neighbor. Verse 8. For Jerusalem is staggering and Judah has fallen because of their tongue, and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their faces witnesses against them that they declare their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. Now here's a little bit of hope for us. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, for the evil doings of his hand shall be given to him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead his case and stands up to judge the people. The Lord has entered into judgment with the elders of his people and their kings. And we will see that happen. We are in desperate trouble. Now come over here to Isaiah 5. Notice what is going to happen and why it happens. And the blame lies with all the Christian ministers who are Sunday keepers who say that the law has been done away. That is a defiant, absolutely rebellious thing against God. If you don't believe that, study the book of Job. Job said his righteousness was greater than God's, but it wasn't. And that's exactly what they're saying with their Sunday keeping and their holiday keeping. Oh, they despise the Sabbath, despise the Passover and holy days. Yes, 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 we despise that. But we love our Sunday, and we are good people, and we are wonderful people. And we love to lie to our children, Christmas and Easter. Oh, yes, it's so much fun. Well, pretty soon, you're going to suffer the vomit of your own self-righteousness. How did Job turn out? Remember what happened to Job? He said, oh, I would get God come down and speak to me. He did in a whirlwind. Yes, he did. We'll see that in a minute, because he put himself above God. He did not give God credit for everything that he did. Yes, he was blameless in keeping everything in the letter of the law. That was true. But he thought then he was greater than God. When it was God who made the heavens and the earth, when it was God who made the laws, when it was God who gave him the ability to keep those things, and to understand what he understood. And he forgot that all of us live and move and have our being from God, saint and sinner. And he's given us choice, and we have to choose. Now notice what has been chosen, which is why we are where we are. Verse 18, Isaiah 5. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and send with a cart rope, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know. It isn't going to happen unless you repent and believe every word of God. No, your rebellion is going to deny it from you. Verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Yes, wonderful, educated, sophisticated judges, scholars of the law. And they said, same-sex marriage is equal. Yes, they don't know what they have done to this nation. Verse 21, woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The whole educational system, the whole political system, the whole religious system is corrupt, just like where we started, from head to the bottom of the feet. Now God tells us in Isaiah 58, cry aloud and spare not. When times like this come, the ministers and people of God are to stand up and issue warning and let them know this is the hand of God. Now verse 22. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Add into that all the drugs. Now we've got a series on the addicted society. We have a series addicted to sex. Those bring out all the troubles and difficulties that happen when people break the laws of God. How many people have ruined their lives, their families, their loved ones with drugs, with illicit sex, lying and cheating and stealing, coveting and taking? Add into that gambling. Add into all of those things, whatever you know that could be added to it, because God looks at the whole thing. Verse 23, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And that's what they're going to come and try and do now. Come after all churches everywhere. Because you see, if you don't preach the truth of God, the whole truth of God, and teach the commandments of God as well as the love and grace of God, you're fighting against God. And when God fights back, it's going to come. Verse 24, therefore as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is Orthodox Christianity, Catholic and Protestant. And there needs to be repentance of that. I don't think it's going to come. All you have to do is read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And who believed them until after it was already done? Hardly anyone. Let's read on. Verse 25, therefore the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and has stricken them. And the hills tremble, and their dead bodies were as filth in the midst of the street. In all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. How much longer do you want to fight God? Any Sunday keeper out there, tell me, why do you hate the Sabbath? Why do you say the law is done away, when Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill and magnify the law and make it glorious? Does it not say that those who have the Spirit of God are to have the laws and commandments written in their hearts and in their minds? Yes, it does. How does that do away with the law? does not do it. And when you say the law is done away, you are judging God. And when you judge God, know for sure that he's going to judge you. Witness Job. That's why the book of Job is there. All right? Let's come over here to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 13. Isaiah 9 and verse 13. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. No. They're upset because all of the nice things are taken away. And the Lord will cast off from Israel the head and the tail, the branch and the rush in one day. The elder and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. A false Christ, a false day of worship, a false grace, a false salvation. Everything about it is a lie, except the name of God and Jesus Christ. But if you take that in vain, what worth is it? Verse 16, the leaders of this people led them astray, and those who are led by them are swallowed up. Therefore the Lord shall not rejoice over their young men, nor shall he have mercy upon their orphans and widows. For everyone is ungodly and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks foolishness. In all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, for their wickedness burns like the fire. It shall devour the briar and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall roll upwards like the lifting up of the smoke through the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the land scorched, and its people shall be as fuel for the fire. No man shall spare his brother. That's what it's coming to. People didn't think that it would happen. Now you look over there in the Middle East and you look at what is happening there. It's coming here. They already have ISIS camps south of the border in Mexico. It's coming here. And unless there is a mass repentance, as I said in a special message, of the whole nation, there will be no turning back of the hand of the correction of God. It will not happen. Well, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back, and we will see more what is in store. Because when God says he's going to do something, and he's got examples in the Bible, in history, to tell us and to teach us so that we know that we don't do those things, then you know, it is coming. It is coming.